above and beyond and special. And it's His holiness, His sacredness, that makes anything else that could possibly be sacred, sacred. He makes it that way. And if God makes something sacred, then we need to treat it that way. That's the way that that needs to work. Now, in the past, as we noted, God made certain objects or places sacred. As He said to Moses, "This is holy ground, take your shoes off." Or when He had Moses build the tabernacle and the furniture of the tabernacle. And once those things were dedicated and consecrated by blood sacrifice, they became holy. And they were not to be touched or used in any ordinary or common or profane way. And that was very important. But it was always just a teaching tool, of course, to communicate to us a concept. And the concept is, if God says something is sacred, that's the way it needs to be treated. And today, God declares certain spiritual things to be sacred, things that we must honor and treat as holy. Have to think of them that way. Regard them that way. Treat them that way. Last week, I talked about marriage. Marriage is sacred. Sacred to God. God makes it sacred, and we need to treat it in that way. Today, I want to talk about the church. Did you know the church is sacred? Did you know that the church is holy and sanctified and dedicated? I hope you knew that. But if you didn't know that, or maybe you hadn't really thought about it, maybe this sermon is something that you'll find interesting. I hope you do. People have a problem sometimes with that concept. They still think in terms of the old covenant, and they think of places as being sacred, like this sanctuary, this structure. And so when you come in here, you shouldn't do certain things. You need to take off your hat. You need to watch your language, you know, because you're in a building. Or they might regard something like this, like an altar or something, you know. They say, "This is an altar and this is sacred." And it's not really. It's not an altar, but you understand the concept that I'm talking about. I always find it funny when people find out I'm a minister or something, and they suddenly think they need to start being more careful about their language. Yeah, as if I matter any more than God. But people understand the concept that certain things are special and sacred. But what we need to understand is that it is the church that is special and sacred to God. It is. And the church is not a building, it's not a place, not a geography, it's us. We are sacred. We're sacred to God. God's made us that way. And we need to think of ourselves this way, not only ourselves individually, but as a group, as a congregation of God's people. Think of it this way. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. We talked about this just at the end of last week's sermon. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her." Ephesians 5, 25. "Christ loved the church, gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." You know, you make something sacred because you love it, right? Because it matters to you. It's important to you. And you need to know that the church is important to Christ. That He loves His church. He loves His church so much that He did something quite amazing, quite awful for Him. He died in agony, and He bore our sin. And I don't know exactly what all that entails, but I know this, that it was awful. But He did it because He loved us. And he did it to sanctify us. And that word sanctify means to make holy, to make separate, to make pure. To elevate it to the level of being sacred. He did that to make us sacred. And so when people say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm no saint, they don't know what they're talking about. To be a saint, simply, it's the same. It's a cognate of the same word, to be sanctified. It just means to be made holy. And if you're not made holy, then you're no Christian, because Christians are holy people. And they're not holy people because they're perfect or sinless or they never do anything wrong. That is not the case. We are made perfect and holy in Jesus Christ. And if that's not true, then what does this mean? Why did Jesus die? He died that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the Word. And there's this process, you know, this process of this gospel. And we hear the gospel and we respond to the gospel and we're baptized. And in our baptism, we are washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are made holy and part of the church of Jesus Christ. And we are sacred to Him. We got to understand that, brethren. Church is sacred. Verse 27 of Ephesians 5, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's you and me. Now, you may not feel that way. Now, I understand that. But you need to wrap your head around this. You know, there's been a lot of news about how the cathedral, Notre Dame, burned down and how awful and terrible that was. And from a purely material standpoint, it was awful and terrible. I've been there. I've seen that cathedral. It's quite beautiful. It was. And it speaks to the dedication that people have when they want to build something and make it quite amazing. And it's awful that it burned down. But let me tell you something. Buildings are not sacred. The people in this room are ever so much more important to God than any building. And it may be a shame that a beautiful building burned down, but what a shame it would be if the souls of the Lord's church are lost due to negligence, due to a lack of appreciation of the sacredness of what we have, to profane the Lord's church. And you're part of that. See, we're all part of it. If we are Christians, we are part of the Lord's church and we are sacred to Him. Look at those words again. That He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This is what the Lord wants for us. This is how He sees us. By the blood of Jesus Christ, by the mercy of God, He sees us as a holy thing without blemish. And I know it's, you know, we look around at each other and we say, hey, he's got problems. Oh, yeah, you know, and she's not that faithful, you know. And this person did this, and this person, they could really up their game. They could be better than they are. And we're so hypercritical of each other sometimes and of ourselves. And yet, by the sacrifice of Christ and by His blood, we are holy and without a single blemish. See what that means? See what we are? The church, sanctified and holy. Christ died to make His church holy and sacred and pure. He died to make that happen. Did He not accomplish that? Did He fail? No. No, in Christ, in His mercy, in His service, as imperfect as we are, and as as messed up as we are sometimes, as we seek His grace and continue to serve Him and call upon Him and pray and worship, Christ has a bride without blemish. He absolutely does. Those of us who are part of His church are part of something sacred. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, Paul writes to a church in Corinth, and it's a messed up church. It's a church with lots of problems. And this is what he says, the very opening line, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be His holy people, together with all those everywhere who call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. What an amazing thing to write to such a messed up church. And yet, that's what he says. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called holy people. And we are, brethren, we are sanctified in Christ. And we are His holy people. What a beautiful thought. And a true thought. And one that ought to be embraced and appreciated, celebrated, because we're cleansed in Jesus and made to be holy. That's what He died for. That's what we thought about as we took the elements of the Lord's Supper this morning. We thought about that blood, and we thought about His death on the cross, and we thought about what it means to us. And as Christians, in partaking of the communion, the Eucharist, the commemoration of the body and blood of Jesus, what we are professing is we're sacred. We are made holy. The blood and body of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. That's what some of you were. You know that litany of wickedness that Paul lists there in Corinthians. You know, the evil things that we have done and all of us have done. And yet, Paul says, such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. When you became a Christian and you were washed in the blood of Christ, blood sanctified you. Just like in the model of the old law, they put up the tent, they made the furniture, and common ordinary men made that furniture, and common ordinary men and women sewed and put together the canvas and made the tabernacle of old in the wilderness. But when Moses and Aaron and they took the animals and they sacrificed them and they poured out the blood and they took the blood and they sprinkled it on those objects became sacred. You couldn't touch them anymore. They were dedicated to the service of God. Well, that's a model. But the model is fulfilled in us. You understand that, right? We were washed. We were sanctified. We were cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Scriptures say. Hebrews 10 and verse 10. And by that will we have been sanctified through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 13 and verse 12. And so Jesus also suffered outside the gate to sanctify the people by His own blood. Sanctified us. So what makes us saints? You're not a saint. You better be a saint. Because all that means is the blood of Jesus makes you whole and pure and sanctified and set apart and dedicated. Yes, we are. Yes, we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus. You better believe we are. And as such, we are part of something holy. And as part of something holy, we need to maintain that sacredness. Now, we maintain that sacredness by again appealing to and making use of the blood of Christ. And that's why we pray and we ask for forgiveness. And that's why we partake of the Lord's Supper and we acknowledge what it is that cleanses us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And in that regard, we maintain holiness. We maintain holiness by appealing and continuing to make use of that which makes us holy, the blood of Christ. But we also maintain that holiness, in a sense, by not profaning the church. And that means not profaning ourselves. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-4, Paul says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable." As constituents of God's sanctuary, as part and parcel of a holy and sacred assembly, a church, a house of God, and not a building, us, we strive to remain pure and not be profaned by the sin and corruption and wickedness of the world. And that's part of our responsibility. And as I said last week, would you have gone into the tabernacle or the temple of the Old Testament and just stored your stuff there? Or maybe gotten some of the furniture there and brought it out and used it for your own picnic or something like that? Would you have done that? Or would you have gone and soiled the tabernacle of God? Would you have done that? You wouldn't have dared to do that. What a fool you would have been to do that. And yet, we are part of the true temple of God. How dare we soil it and profane it by engaging and indulging in sin and degradation and lies and in deceit and immorality and selfishness. You see, our obligation to the house of God starts with ourselves and controlling ourselves and keeping ourselves pure, because there's some sacred things in this world and we're one of them. And we need to treat ourselves that way. Treat God. We belong to God. We have been dedicated to God. We are His stuff now. And we cannot dishonor that and profane that. Hebrews 10:29. "How much more severely do you think one deserves to be punished who is on the Son of God, profane the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" Again, in this context, the writer says, you know, if you go on sinning after receiving the sacrifice for your sins, there no longer remains that sacrifice for sin. The blood of Jesus that has cleansed us is holy blood, right? And that holy, sacred blood has made us holy because we've come in contact with it. We've obeyed the gospel. And when we are plunged down into the waters of baptism, we are saying, "God, take the blood of Jesus and cleanse me." And once we are cleansed, how dare we willingly and willfully and continually profane that blood by continuing in sin? Say, "Oh, well, I don't care anymore. This is what I'm going to do now. I'm just going to do this sin, and I know it's wrong, and I know the Lord doesn't want me to do it, but, you know, I don't care." You are profaning something sacred. And it's not just you. You don't say, "Well, it's just me. I don't care about me." You are profaning the blood of Jesus Christ. And you don't think that warrants a punishment? How much more severely do you think one deserves to be punished who is trampled on the Son of God, profaned the blood of the covenant that sanctified him? You think about that. You think long and hard about that when you're contemplating doing something wrong or committing sin or leaving the church, because that's really what this is coming down to. It's talking about people who are contemplating leaving the church and not being faithful to God. You are profaning the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" Now that comes from the Old Testament. That's from the model of the tabernacle worship and the covenant of Israel that was given through Moses. And in that covenant, God says, "Look, you need to start acting holy because I'm holy. And I've set you apart as my holy people. And these sacrifices are to indicate your holiness So act like it. Act holy because you are holy, because I'm holy. That's the way that works. Well, if it worked that way under the old covenant, it sure works that way under the new covenant. To be holy because I am holy. Sacred things, though, are not just to be closed away. They are to be used in the service of God. And that's another thing. You know, sometimes we treat the church like my mom did those plates. You know, we just put that up. We don't use that. No. What are you doing? Put those back. Those aren't for you. Don't use those. So they just sit there. They don't ever do anything. Is that our holiness? Is that how we're holy? Avoid all contact, you know. Just close yourself off and be holy. Well, that wasn't even how things were holy under the old law. Holy things are to be used in the service of God. You see, there is something, there is a guest to be served here, and it's God. Romans 12 and verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's interesting when you read these books like Romans and Hebrews that there is this concept of service, and you know you're dedicated and you're holy so that you can serve. You're cleansed to serve. You're not cleansed just to be put away and kept in isolation. You're cleansed to serve. And just as those articles under the old law, the tabernacle, the table of the showbread, the menorah, the altar of the incense, all of these things were to be used in the service of God, that's what made them holy. God made them holy, and they were dedicated to His service. In the same way, we're dedicated to God's service. We're made holy to do holy things, to honor God, to give glory to God. And in that context, in Romans chapter 12, what Paul goes on to talk about is all of the things that you can do and I can do in the service of God. The charity and the kindness and the encouragement and the teaching. The church is holy to do holy things. By the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, sacrifices are dedicated to God. Sacrifices are holy. They shouldn't be profaned. But in our case, our sacrifice is a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Present them. Live them. Do them. Do the things acceptable to God. 1 Timothy 2. Then that in every place that men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or quarreling. What's the point of having hands that have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ if we don't use them in the service and worship and honor of God? That's what they're for. Your body, your life, as part of the temple of God, is to live every day in His service, to worship Him, to honor Him. James 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this: visit orphans and widows in their affliction. Keep yourself unstained from the world. That's being holy, my friend. That's holiness. Use what is sacred in the service of God. 1 Peter 2:4. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And you see the model that Peter is drawing here of the old temple worship and the priests bringing the sacrifices and all of that was a model of holiness. We are the substance, the reality. We, the church, Christians, we are living stones. Each one of us a stone in that temple of God. And in our daily lives, what are we to be doing? Serving as priests in this world. It's a world filled with wickedness and evil and profane things, but we are to be different. We are to be separate. We are to be unstained by all of that wickedness and evil and instead be focused and concentrating every day upon what can I be doing in the service of my God in work that is holy and pure and righteous and honorable and good and brings glory to Him, because that is why Jesus died, to cleanse us, to make us holy. Not just so we can wait this thing out and then one day maybe go to heaven. We should already be part of that heavenly service to God, even now. A spiritual house, even now, a holy priesthood, even now offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Because holy things are for. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is our purpose. This is our function. That's what it means to be holy in this world. So, brethren, let's embrace our sacredness. It's an honor and a blessing to be sanctified by the blood of Christ. How could there be any greater honor in this world? You see, people fawn over cathedrals and over things that they regard as special. There isn't anything more special than the Lord's church in this world. Nothing. And you're part of it. If you're a Christian, do you not value that? Well, God valued it so much that He sent His Son to die to make it happen. Let's regard as we're part of a holy temple built to God's glory. Let's keep God's temple and let's live our lives in such a way that it brings glory and honor to Him. Sacred things, and the church is one of them. And if you're a Christian, then you're one of those sacred things in God's sacred church. Look at yourself and think of yourself that way. Treat yourself that way. Behave yourself that way. And serve God that way. And if you're not a Christian, and you might think, well, I could never be holy. I could never be sacred. Well, we're not better than you. But what we are is cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And if you want that, if you want to be cleansed, you can be the same way that we were, with the washing of the water, with the Word. Paul says, such were some of you, adulterers, fornicators, thieves, drunkards, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. And you can be too. If you want that for yourself, to be part of God's holy temple, serving the Lord, come forward and say that you want it as we stand and sing.